It's 15 minutes to 10 o'clock. Listening to the morning review, 021-446-0567. You can drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567. A new era, I think, for South African filmmaking is that online streaming sources and platforms make it so easier to get movies out there, stories out there, and it's on demand. People don't have to go to a cinema. You don't have to buy the popcorn and the 50 Rand Coke. You watch it on your TV screen connected to the internet, or you watch it on your laptop or even your phone. Last night I enjoyed been dabbling it for a couple of days now, but last night really settled down to watch a new feature film on Netflix. It's called Silverton Siege. It's about the failed sabotage mission of a trio of anti-apartheid freedom fighters, ends up in a tense bank hostage situation, but coming in for a little bit of criticism, particularly with people who feel that the history is so and still connected to the story of South Africa's past, about whether there is the license for filmmakers, for cinematic value, for storytelling value, to divert just a little bit from historical accuracy. I want to join, welcome into this conversation Mandla Dube. He is the director, the writer of Silverton Siege. Mandla, thanks so much for joining us. Firstly, let me congratulate you. A opening 15 and 20 minutes of action, gunshots, of car chases in downtown Pretoria, something that I haven't necessarily seen in a locally produced film in South Africa. So from a cinematic point of view, really, really enjoyed that movie. Thanks so much for joining us. But have you come across these conversations about people saying, are you diverting a little bit from the historic value of the story, and your process, your thoughts around some of that critique that has come your way?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, listen, we've had a lot of criticism, and I think we took a very bold decision not to have any kind of fear or favor around that, because our heritage is also needs to be celebrated in whatever way we would deem it to be as creatives. And you know, when I was saying to one of the colleagues that called me from your station about this interview, and I said, I mean, you know, the thing is, when Steven Spielberg goes and makes a book called Schindler's List, or what's his name, Quentin Tarantino makes Inglourious Basterds, they give him awards. They give those guys awards for making those films. And when we make films here to celebrate our heritage, you know, in a what we would deem it commercial, we get criticized. So I'm not going to apologize for what we have done. I want to continue making films that are entertaining, and then use South Africa's canvas storytelling. And that's the only way we can grow a storyteller, by having no fear to tell the stories we want to tell.
Well, Silverton Siege is based on true events. You as a postscript, you say there, this is a story that is based on actual events. It's when in the 1980s freedom fighters took 25 hostages at a Pretoria bank, demanded the release of Nelson Mandela, who was still incarcerated. So the premise of the story is there. How you decide to color in that story is your own creative decision.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's a film called Kelly's Heroes. It's about the Second World War. You know, there's so many films. There are so many films that have come out of China, Korea, Egypt, and so forth. You know, even having done Galushi before Silverton Siege, there's a lot of creative license that we took. Albeit, you know, that was a biographical film, whereas Silverton Siege is not a biographical film. It's based on the event. It's inspired by the events of the day. Not even based. It's inspired by the events of the day of January 25th, 1980. So, you know, it's on Netflix. You can watch it, and I welcome any kind of criticism. I think people have the right to an opinion. and just as much as I have the rights to storytelling, you know, it's I'm practicing my constitutional rights to be a storyteller.
How do you create that? Is it simply the distance of time?
Can I just say?
Go ahead.
Can I just say, my goodness, folks go to church and they read a book, you know, and in a lot of the Bible, there are lots of stories that when you read it, you're like, come on, this is real. But, you know, we believe it. Sit there and we, you know what I mean? And it's like, give me a break. And I go and tell a film inspired by something that happened that is in very recent memory. And folks don't even go and watch it. And they already, it's unbelievable. But I enjoy the debate. I think for the first time we're able to have conversations with each other. Mm. And I think that's what art is supposed to do, is to provoke and invoke conversations and to be provocative. And I think the film stands out there and it has done its job. Mm.
Look, first, let me say, as a period piece, stunning. Set design, production design, stunning. And there are already a few people asking you, where did you source all those Ford Cortinas? Which is very much part of my mind's eye of what the 1980s looks like, if I can still remember.
We had an amazing production designer, Chantel Carter, who sourced all those vehicles around the country. They're private collectors who have those vehicles and they keep them, you know, for their own collections. So we source them around the country, and it goes to show you that how South Africans are also very strong in issues of conserving and of heritage. It's important to them. So, you know, we had an amazing production designer, Chantel Carter. All credit goes to her for the wonderful vehicles, for the locations. And then Rui Philippe, he did the costumes, you know. And so I had an amazing team, and my producer Walter Ayers was able to put together an amazing team, you know, the cinematographer Sean Harley Lee. So it's just all credit goes to my team. I can't take all the credit.
I want to bring to this conversation film director, writer Takunda Chimutasha, also on how do storytellers, where do they find the license? Should they be afforded that license? Even as something as very real and very immediate, like a pre-democracy South Africa, in providing that creative license. Takunda, you want to weigh into this conversation. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, Lester. How are you doing?
Very good. Your thoughts on the storytellers' rights and license to divert from historical accuracy with something that is so very real and relevant and still very fresh in people's memories, like an apartheid South Africa.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit.
Okay. We're going to send you back to our producer there to try and get you on a better line. Let me just talk about a little bit about the cast. Mandla, Tabu Rametsi, who I know from TV as well as screen, also his portrayal of Solomon Mahlangu in Kalushi of Arnold Vosloo, is very much a South African film legend. Now, what's like, and also Tumisho Masha as his portrayal as an apartheid era cop. Many of these characters and stories very much real to many people. What's it like working with this cast?
It was amazing. I mean, they gave up themselves, and traditionally here at home, we don't give on productions. We don't give actors enough time to be able to do proper rehearsals and to immerse themselves in these characters. And we were very fortunate in the sense that I requested Netflix to give us space and to give us time to do proper rehearsals. And then, you know, and that it paid off on the screen. You see that those actors, it just goes to show you the amazing talent that we have here at home. Given the support, given the time, you know, actors can work with any Hollywood actor and do it. And Arnold Vosloo will tell you that, you know, he gets a script at least 3-4 weeks before he gets to do the project. And by the time he steps on set, he is the character. Mm. And so in working with talent here at home, they were all so impressed and so happy to be given, to be afforded the luxury of rehearsals. And, you know, if we can be able to fight for actors to get more rehearsals, we will be seeing a lot more of our actors being able to compete at a global stage with relative comfort, you know?
That's a little bit of a double.
And just the other thing, I mean, you know, just taking creative license as well. You know, you saw Dumisro Masha play an apartheid era pilot. How many black pilots do you know?
I question that were that myself, actually.
I don't think you could, but taking the creative license, you are able to do that, to say, you know, black people can fly these things called helicopters. It's not a, it's not a phenomenon, you know? So.
It is the burden, I guess, of being someone who lives in South Africa, Cape Town. Look, it's different from Hollywood, where an American audience can externalize Hollywood. Hollywood is on a set far away and can maybe suspend belief a little bit. I remember watching, what's the movie? Safe House. Denzel Washington running through the streets of Cape Town. But I know Cape Town.
Yeah.
And I know that you can't go into a building in Kilroom Street and come out in Strand Street. I know that Cape Town Stadium, which was used as location, doesn't have a subway. It's sometimes it's difficult for a South African viewer. Also, I can also accept very much the realism of your movie. There was a scene in the beginning where, without giving any spoilers, they reckon that their plot is being foiled. And one way of looking at it, or one way they notice that, is that Tabu's character says, "There's a black woman smoking there in the 1980s. I'm like, that is very, very real. That is so on point.
Yeah.
But there's another point where there's an advert or there's something over the radio where they repeat a phone number. And I remember in the 80s, we had seven-digit phone numbers, but they mentioned a Pretoria code 012. So then I'm like, because I'm South Africa, I know exactly that is maybe a little bit of license there.
Yeah. But, look, I mean, it's very liberating not to have fear and tell a story the way you want
that's
it.
True.
You know, so liberating. And I think we also need to start realizing that we are 20 odd years into this democracy. There should be no fear of being able to tell a story.
Yeah.
And there should be no fear for young people to tell the stories that they want, you know, and we should let go of the angers and the fears and all that stuff. Mm. Otherwise, can you imagine what's going to be in the next 20 years if we hang on to if we hang on to fear?
Yes.
Just imagine the kind of stories we're going to tell if we hang on to fear.
I hope the accolades and the applause that we're receiving on our WhatsApp line translates into awards and the accolades that I hope this movie receives. Andrew here in Cape Town says, "Congrats. In my opinion, it's one of the greatest films to come out of South Africa. The city's chase scenes especially were superb. That opening 20 minutes of this movie, I think it's one of the better things I've seen, particularly when it comes to South African action and thrillers based on this very real reality that we still remember of apartheid." Mandla Dube, the creator, the director, writer of Silverton Siege. It's on Netflix. Go watch it, Mandla. Thanks so much for joining us.